Okay. We couldn't go on a Sunday morning without Michelle. Hey, did you notice that pushing that down with that left shoulder, huh? Yeah, okay. You know why that is? I've got a precious sister in here that frequently comes and says, you know, I'm praying for your shoulder. And I didn't ask her to, or ask you to for that matter. And so she knows who she is, and God answers prayers. Okay? God answers prayer. Turn to John 16 this morning. John chapter 16. I want you to know that this passage was a struggle this week. Okay? I get up early on every morning, but on Monday morning is when I start. And it's kind of like, I don't know what a sculptor does. They start with a block of granite, I think it is, and they start chipping away. That's kind of what goes on. Start with a block of granite, a passage of Scripture, and start chipping away. And by Sunday morning then, it's what it is. This week on Friday, I thought I had the sculptor deal pretty well in place. And the Lord looked at it and he said, nah, you missed it. So we had to start all over, okay? And interesting passage. What I want us to look at this morning, if you need a title, is Spiritual Maturity and Spiritual Reality. And you'll figure out what that means as we move on. So let's begin reading in verse 25. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. Now that's probably referencing back to the vineyard, all right? The branches, the vine, the fruit, okay? I have said these things, Jesus said to the 11, in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, be careful with this, I'll explain it in a minute, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. Now listen to what his disciples said, verse 29. His disciples said, oh, or wow, or how we say, ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. This is kind of graduation day for the disciples. You know, things are changing. Up until this time, they have just been watching, okay? Every now and then they'll step up and say something, but mainly they've just been observing. They talk a lot among themselves. They argue among themselves. They don't really have a clue what's going on. But today it's graduation day. And Jesus said, the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, parables and metaphors and whatever, but will tell you plainly about the Father. What he's saying to him, there is a time coming when you will be spiritually mature, and the reality of who I am and what's going on will be obvious to you. Many professing believers today struggle in the same way. Many believers today struggle with living spiritually mature lives and walking in the reality of the risen Christ. The reality of the spiritual life and living as spiritually mature followers of Christ has a distinct meaning. It means that He is Lord. Lord of all things, all the time. Now, this is just observation of my life and maybe yours. But many professing believers today live life categorically, i.e., we break our lives into categories. And those categories define our happiness, our contentedness, our success, our significance. So many do not see Christ in their lives. I'm not talking about the reprobates. I'm not talking about the apostates. I'm talking about those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Don't see Jesus Christ in their lives on an ongoing, regular basis, every day, moment in, moment out. But rather, life is more of a mosaic with these various pieces. Or maybe a better analogy would be of a person who juggles. Andy can juggle, okay? I can't. I don't know. Anybody else a juggler here? I've watched Andy juggle, all right? But, you know, the idea, if I understand it, okay, the balls, if you're juggling balls, are in the air, okay, but your hands are controlling one at a time, and it's got to go in the air. That describes a lot of our lives, doesn't it? We're juggling. If you keep the balls in the air, it's okay. Now you get nervous, your arms get tired, you get frantic, maybe I'll drop one. But that says a lot about how so many professing believers live their lives. There's work. Keep the work ball up there. There's family. Keep it up there. Recreation, social life, church life. Keep those balls up in the air. And it gets tiresome. And it gets frustrating. Because sooner or later you drop one of the balls. You drop the work ball. You get fired. You don't get the promotion. They're cutting back. Or the family ball hits the ground. And that spouse says, I'm leaving. Or a child says, I don't love you anymore. You wouldn't let me do so-and-so. And so the family ball hits the ground. Or all of a sudden, you're not invited to the right parties in town, etc. So the social thing hits the ground. And we measure our happiness success on our ability to keep all the balls in the air. Because so many live by this organizational construct. So many who are supposed to be experiencing the abundant life in Jesus Christ live defeated lives, suffering from depression and defeat, living in fear and loss of joy, having good days and bad days, everything based on the experiences, the balls in the air. So life becomes a life of survival, hanging on, maybe even hustling and manipulating, compromising just to get by. There's going to be a day out there when it gets better, but it's not now. And some of our young folks, and I'll let you put yourself there if you want to be, okay? But I'm thinking more or less 40 and under. You're still hustling, aren't you? But there's going to be a day out there we'll get the kids raised, and you know, the job will firm up, and all. I want to tell you something. I saw 40 some time ago. And folks, it doesn't change. The stressors do change, but getting to be 65 or whatever it is, it doesn't change all of it. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get different, but it's not going to get any better from the way that we calculate betterness with those balls that we're juggling. You see, lives that are directed by circumstances and experiences and not the Word of God and His Holy Spirit is not the abundant life that Jesus spoke of. I have come, He said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's not what He was talking about. Experiences and happiness and circumstances and those kind of things. The abundant life that He talked about and promised was having everything that you need and more to give. And you can decide the commodity that we want to talk about. It's not just money. It's time. It's love. It's abundance in everything. All that you need and more to give. What causes this categorical organizational construct that so many professing believers live by? That which frames the lives of so many people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Perhaps those who took the cup and bread this morning. What frames a life of those who profess to believe? I think one thing that does is not knowing and trusting the Word of God as truth. If you compromise the Word of God, if you reject it as truth, forget trying to live the life that I've been describing of lordship. It can't be. You won't. You can't. Because you see, if we do not see this word as His truth, then lordship is not possible. Another cause, I think, is not knowing the will and ways of God, and that's because we don't know the Word of God. Because His will and ways are revealed here, okay? And only here. Now, somebody like myself or others may read the Word and you hear it, okay? But it has to start here. I would be very careful about what you're reading today if what you're reading today is not referenced in His Word and only in His Word. Another cause for this, by the way, this is just the introduction, okay? All right? Another cause of this categorical organizational construct, I'm calling it, is not really realizing who we are in Christ. So many times, if you ask that question to some folks out on the street, they'll say, well, I'm Methodist, or I'm Baptist. That's not the answer. Who are we in Christ? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Forgiven. Destined for eternity with Him in His heaven. Recipients of the abundant life. Filled with the Spirit of God, such that we know about Jesus ongoingly, as He said, when the Helper comes. Remember, if you were here a few weeks ago, when the Helper comes, He will tell you everything I haven't told you, and what I and the Father are thinking, He will reveal me to you. That's just the beginning. Also, I think what causes this is we ignore the realities of spiritual warfare. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you switched sides. You were traded. No draft choices given. You were on this team and now you're on this team. And when you're on this team, the Lord's team, your former coach now hates you. He embraced you, but now he hates you. And now he is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that you is you. He's your enemy. He seeks to kill and steal and destroy, Jesus said. You're a marked man or woman in the eyes of the prince of the power of the air. And so many believers today walk oblivious to that. We don't know that in the name of Jesus, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we don't. We just let him pound away. Folks, it doesn't have to happen. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. The next time he or one of his emissaries comes to do that damage. Time out, Bubba. Okay? In the name of Jesus. Not my name. I don't have any power. You don't have any power. In the name of Jesus, who lives in me, who died on the cross for me. Get out of here. He's like, you're kind of strange. Well, go ahead and get beat up then. I'm going to walk in victory over him who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Not because I'm better than you, but because all these knots in my nose are because I learned late in life. Another cause of this is not understanding that the world is our enemy. Where we are in John as we move through this book, we have seen, and Jesus continues to remind the disciples and you and I disciples, that the world hates you. And we don't understand that that's truth and that we don't belong to the world. Another cause for this, still the introduction. Life goals that are categorical and not singular. Jesus said one thing, okay? If any man will come after me, he must deny himself or woman, take up their cross daily, die to self, and follow me. That's all you're responsible for. Deny, die, and follow. And when we try to add other stuff, it causes us and forces us to have to get into this juggling thing. Following Jesus is just what it says. You just follow Jesus. Now that runs counter to the American way, doesn't it? Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Anybody got any boots on today? No. I've known a lot of guys and gals who pulled themselves up by the bootstraps only to fall on their gluteus maximus. Check the dictionary if you don't know what that is. Do you know what you get, follower of Jesus Christ, if you try to do it yourself? Yourself. And that wasn't staged either. Now, I don't know about you, but I know me too well. I want to do a little better than myself. Okay? And he told us how. Deny self, take up your cross daily, die to self. And did you notice this? Not lead, follow me, Jesus. Another cause is that we live by feeling and not by faith. Let me sum it up, and we'll close the introduction, okay? Colossians 3, Paul says it so well. Colossians 3, 2 through 3. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That passage of Scripture sums up everything I've been trying to say to us today. The person who walks in Colossians 3, 2 through 3 is leading a spiritually immature life and is living in spiritual reality. So, how do you do it? That's what our passage in John is about. How do you do it? How do you live in spiritual reality and in spiritual maturity? A life where Jesus is Lord all the time in all situations. How do you do that? These are goals that God has for His disciples. Both of these are God's expectations. And both are established only through Christ and Christ alone. So here's a key. Spiritual reality brings forth spiritual maturity. I think many disciples today do not walk in spiritual maturity because they're not walking in spiritual reality. They do not see life as a spiritual experience lived out bodily. But also, spiritual maturity brings forth spiritual reality. When we are spiritually mature, then we see spiritual reality. And we see Him all the time in everything on a daily basis. All right, walk through this passage with me and we'll won't be quite as long as we were in the introduction, okay? It's graduation day and Jesus is kind of telling them about what's going to be happening now, okay? First of all, he says in verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. The spiritually mature individual who's living in spiritual reality is going to be asking the Father. How often? All the time. Pray without ceasing. The command for the Scripture. What does that mean? We kind of touched on that some weeks back. But that's as you're going through your day, okay? The receiver, if you still have one of those things at the house, okay? You remember the old days when you had the receiver and you dial and that kind of thing, or punch, you know, okay? The receiver is always up and the line is always connected. And so you're driving down the road, okay? And you're driving down over by the college especially. And all of a sudden, this young co-ed comes screaming out there to the young and puts the brakes on, okay? Now, if you are not walking in spiritual maturity, you may have some nasty things to say to her. But if you are in constant communication and the receiver's up and you've got a hotline to heaven, okay, you're not talking about her. You're thanking Him for keeping you from being a wreck where you could have been T-boned and injured bad. You see the difference? And that goes on all day long. With the receiver up, okay, you can talk and he can talk. You think, that is really weird. Well, no, it's not. But if you find that really weird, that's spiritual reality. You think Jesus just got up in the morning and had a 5-minute quiet time? I think we mislabeled that thing a long time ago. I don't think it should be a quiet time. I think it means it's been a noisy time. He's talking, you're talking, he's talking, excuse me, he's talking, you know. Yeah. And sometimes he'll say, would you be quiet right now? See, a lot of prayer life is listening. It's communication with the Father. That's all prayer is, okay? We're speaking His will to Him, remember, 1 John 5:14 and 15. And He's speaking to us, that which He will. That's prayer. So I hope you have a noisy time every morning. Just you and Him, okay? I'm not against people gathering together to pray, study the Bible. I'm not against any of that. Of course, you know I'm not, okay? But folks, there needs to be that time. Jesus needed it when he went away and got away from to be with the Father. And as he's walking about and his disciples are following him, he's got a hotline to heaven. In that day, you will ask in my name. Spiritually mature individuals ask the Father. And it's ongoing. It's without ceasing. It's our first response, not our last strategy. Well, I guess, you know, you've heard about the business meeting of the Baptist church. They had some contentious thing about color of carpet or chair. I don't know what it was, okay? We don't have a business meeting here, so it wasn't us, okay? But they had this business meeting. It's getting hot, okay? These folks are fighting against these folks. And finally, one old deacon gets up and he says, you know, I think we ought to pray about this. And the preacher said, do you think it's come to that? Folks, instead of our first response, oftentimes it's our last strategy. In that day, what day, Jesus? When I no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but speak to you plainly about the Father. Up until this time, the Father's been mainly in the context of Jesus and the Father. Have you noticed that? I hadn't noticed that. The disciples are observers. Jesus talks about the Father. The Father's commanded him. He's going to the Father. The Father sent me. It's all, you know, Jesus and the Father. Jesus and the Father. And the disciples are just, they're just observing. And I got the idea this week that, you know, they didn't really understand this thing. So it's in, Jesus has been talking. Now he changes all of that. It's graduation day. Now he says, in that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. In other words, what he's saying, you don't have to ask me and then ask the Father, and I'll ask the Father. He said, you can ask the Father in my name. What? Think of these Jewish boys, okay? This is about as foreign can get. All of their lives, they've had to have a priest offer a sacrifice. They've had to get what the scripture meant, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, from the Pharisees and the teachers. If they had a sin, they had to get them to take care of it for them. And on it goes. And now, Jesus is saying, ask the Father. Folks, and I don't know, a lot of you come from Catholic backgrounds, etc. You don't go to the priest. He's in worse shape than you are. And I'm not being judgmental there. I read the paper. No. Do you know who the priest is? You, disciple. Priesthood of the believer means that we can go to God. Because Jesus is at his right hand. And he told us we could. And so you don't need somebody. If you come talk to one of us elders about something, you know what we're going to tell you. What does God say? Go ask him. He'll tell you. We don't have some secret over here, this little box back here. Let's see. Oh, we don't do it that way. Go to the Word. You can go to the Word, folks. You don't need anybody to tell you what it means. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will reveal it to you. Do you know what that did to these guys? That is being spiritually mature. Now, I'm not saying we don't help each other. We don't say, well, you know, I was reading over in such and such, you might want to read over there, okay? But you don't have to go to some potentate somewhere and get him to tell you what to do and what you can't do. And I don't mean to be hurtful there if that's your background. I really don't, okay? I just want you to see who you are in Christ. You'll ask in my name. And you don't have to ask me to ask the Father or anyone else. You can ask the Father. Next thing he said to them, and this is rich, okay? This is rich. For the Father himself loves you. Now, folks, that's a foreign thought as well. I felt for those guys this week. You see, we look back, we read, we studied, we memorized, we know, okay? They didn't. And now, Jesus is telling them that the Father, with whom he had had this kind of one-on-one relationship in the front of them, and they're overhearing, you know, now he tells them, the Father loves you. Wow! Do you think that did something to these guys? It does something to me. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. Every person in these chairs, the Father, the God of the universe, creator of all, I'm finally glad that science caught on. All right? They saw some ripple on something, you know, that radio, whatever, they said, that could have been God. Oh, duh. Come on over and I'll show you more about what you just think about out there. Sure, it was God. All that is, he spoke into existence. On his time schedule, which I happen to believe was 6 days. Literal days. You're like, oh, it's getting weird now. Folks, that's been truth for 6,000 years. And you came up with it a few weeks ago in a science class? Your rendition of that? I think not. Don't you want to be standing before him someday and say, Father, thank you for revealing to me how you did it. As opposed to saying, gee whiz, Lord, I'm kind of sorry, you know, I got into the billion-year thing and, you know, it just kind of took me. Huh? I saw I'm wrong. And I get there and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I just believed you. There's no parentheses here. 6 days or 15 billion years, you know. There's no parentheses there. Are we chasing rabbits yet, Andy? Okay. Good rabbits. Okay, all right. The Father loves you. First of all, he loved you redemptively. For God so loved the world. You see, we were all world. And he loved us then. In my sin, he loved me. In your sin, he loved you. He loved you redemptively. But we really didn't know that. And now he loves us relationally, such that we are the sons and daughters of God, such that now we can, it says in Romans, cry out, Abba, Father, such that in Hebrews we can come boldly to his throne of grace that we can receive help in time of need. Now he loves us relationally. As we were meeting for prayer this morning, Andy was praying, and I don't even know the context now, Andy, sorry about that. But he talked about God knowing the numbers of the hairs of our head. For some of us, that's not a big deal, okay? Don't get caught up in that too much. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us intricately. And he loves us. And everything that comes into our lives, he plans and he permits. This is part of the deal of being a disciple. Jesus knew what was going to happen to these guys when he dismissed this time and got arrested and went to the cross, didn't he? You're going to be scattered. He told them, you're going to be scattered. He also knew, okay, that they're going to die. Martyred. He also knew that the helper was coming. He knew all of this ahead of them. Everything was planned. Everything was permitted that happened in their life as disciples. And the same is true for you and me. Are you getting the idea this is a good deal? Huh? Praise God. He loves you. The Father loves you. You see, we are in relationship with Him now as disciples, followers, those who've denied, died, and followed. And remember, He wants us to be in fellowship, doesn't He? If you were here with us last week. Another thing He says, and I'll hurry, I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. If you go out and spend many time rubbing shoulders with people who are in the world, okay, they're going to think you just fell off some turnip wagon. You believe in somebody you can't even see? Give me a break. No. Give me a break to get at you and tell you truth. I see Him every day. I open His Word, and He becomes alive. I hear Him every day. I follow Him every day. He walks with me and talks with me. Remember a song we used to sing? There's truth there. Okay? Physical eyes? No. Something better. Spiritual eyes. Do you walk with Him knowingly every day? Do you see Him, hear Him? It's tragic when we come into those crises, whether it be health crisis. Those are the times that we see Him and hear Him. But it doesn't have to wait till then. It doesn't have to wait till then. We can see Him. He said, I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. You're not going to see me anymore, okay? But He sent the Helper, didn't He? When He leaves, the Helper's coming. And He will be in you. And He will speak of me. Indwelt of God the Holy Spirit. The next thing He said that caught my attention. The disciples said, this is why we believe that you came from God. Okay? Not because they were what they were hearing, but because He wasn't going to use those figures of speech anymore. Okay? And now you're speaking to us plainly. He said, that's why we believe, because now you're speaking to us plainly. And then Jesus, you know, instead of getting real excited, you know, like, they get it. He said, do you believe? We don't have time to go there, okay? Peter's already proclaimed this, by the way. You know, they came to Jesus. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, well, some think you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been killed, okay? All right. Some think that you're Elijah, or one of the prophets. And Peter spoke up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was quick to put Peter in his place. And He said, you didn't come up with that on your own, okay? That didn't come from you, Peter. But because you profess that, I will build my church on you. He wasn't the first pope, okay? But the church of the living God, that gathering of the saints, on your profession of faith, my church will be built, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Perhaps the reason so many profess to be followers don't live in spiritual reality and spiritual maturity is that we don't believe that. Next, He said to them, behold, the hour is coming when you'll be scattered. Kind of alluded to that a second ago. I want to tell you something, folks. Spiritually mature disciples living in spiritual reality can handle being scattered. You ever had your life scattered? Jeff, had your life scattered, have you, buddy? Wow. I still cringe when I think of those days. Laura, you had your life scattered, haven't you? Shelly, had your life scattered, haven't you? And a lot of the rest of you have as well. It's those times when everything we thought somebody just went, bloop. and we've been scattered. And he said, you're going to go to your houses, but they're not safe. They know that. They are hunted men, will be. And everything that they were hoping for. You see, just a few days before, they had walked up there with Jesus as he's being said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah, we're kind of tied, he and I, you know, that kind of thing. And they're fighting to get right up next to him, that kind of deal. They think one's going to be on the right hand and one on the left when he gets into the kingdom, when they kill the Romans. And now, a couple of days later, they're scattered. Folks, disciples who are living in spiritual reality and spiritual maturity can handle when their life is scattered. Well, we get knocked down. You know, that, but we get back up. Why? Because we're a big deal? No. Because there's one who grabs hold and lifts us back up. You see. Do you need him to lift you up today because you've been scattered? Reach out your hand. Reach out your hand. He wants to lift you up. Okay? He wants you back in the fight. If he's through with you, you're not here. Okay? He's going to use you till he's through with you. And then he'll call you home. And that's the best day of your life. Okay? The things of earth will grow strangely dim. So spiritually mature followers living in spiritual reality can handle being scattered. And finally this morning, and you can take this one home with you, I'm going to. Jesus said to the 11 and to us disciples, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And that's the only place. You see, we think we're looking for peace, and I guess maybe we are, when the job's going okay and the family's going okay and the social life's okay and the church life's okay. And we think, you know, oh, okay, I got peace. That ain't peace, okay? The peace is what he gives us. When all of the balls fall and hit the ground, we have peace. Because we're not counting on the balls that we're trying to juggle. We're counting on the fact that he said, I'll give you peace. Will you pray with me? Father, I feel for the disciples this morning that we read about. They're just learning so they could teach us. Many of them wrote about what you said, and we have it preserved in your word today. And Father, we know what's going to happen to these guys. Just some days in the future when the Spirit comes, all that Jesus was telling them is going to become their reality. And they are going to be those pillars of faith and obedience, the apostles, that are going to turn the city of Jerusalem upside down, at least be used by the Holy Spirit to do so. And then scattered to the ends of the earth. Father, we too, who are disciples, have received God the Holy Spirit. He came to live in us when we professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's the one who gives us the fruit and lives himself out through us, and the word calls it the fruit of the Spirit. He's the one that gives us spiritual gifts to edify and build up the body of Christ. And Father, we are related to you in the same way that these disciples, these 11, were related. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. So I pray this morning, Father, all those gathered in this room would leave here with one desire: to walk in spiritual maturity and spiritual reality. Every day, all day, knowing that you are there, that you are Lord of their lives, and you are planning everything that happens, and they're listening to you for peace, for comfort, for direction, for all things. May we all live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ.